Yeah, I was having a shit.
Welcome back.
We've done it 2 weeks in a row.
Yes, well, we've only recorded races, so far, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah, we might never make it out.
Yeah, welcome to Kimmy's Toilet Break for the Malaysian Grand Prix.
The Malaysian Grand Prix. I watched it, Tom.
Yay!
So it's going better than last week already.
Yeah, that's much better. This one might actually be worth listening to then.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I did actually miss the qualifying, but then managed to catch the highlights of it, and then missed the race, but then managed to watch a replay of it. So it's lucky we didn't record on Sunday after all.
Yeah, we weren't thinking about it. I was terribly ill with man flu. You might hear, still a little bit ill. I'll blame the nose later for extra effect. But I didn't get up on time to watch any of it, but did record and rewatch in the same fashion.
Yeah.
It's like 9 a.m.
Do us a favour. Well, I don't know. I thought, yeah, that'd be fine. It's not that bad at 9 a.m. Yeah. No, that's
straight through. Really didn't want to. So,
But then I think the start was delayed anyway, wasn't it? I was fast forwarding through.
Sure, it's delayed. Qualifying start was delayed because of fog. Yeah.
Fog?
No.
Rain?
Somebody made that off. Scorpions on the track.
Where did that come from? Amazing.
Right. I said it's so convincing.
It was because of fog. Amazing. No, it was raining, but they managed to get out eventually.
And rain in Malaysia.
Who'd have thought? Another interesting qualifying session.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
As a result.
Yeah.
So I did actually manage to watch some of the build-up as well.
Build-up for qualifying.
Oh, I didn't
go that far.
That's how keen I was.
Really trying to outdo me from last week.
It was entertaining. I haven't watched any build-up for a while because I've been watching the last few races last season, and I've forgotten how hilarious it is.
Were you watching the BBC coverage?
I was watching the Sky coverage.
I watched Sky coverage.
With, obviously, they've got Brundle and
Lazenby,
but Johnny Herbert and Damon Hill.
Yeah.
That they like to stand in high order now, I've noticed.
So,
and colour coordinate them in different colours and stand in a row. It's really neat.
It's very neat. And I've realised that Damon Hill can't walk. Well, they do the bits where they're walking towards the camera, and he is really uncomfortable with walking.
I've noticed this as well. He veers in towards them all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's like on the shoulders of Johnny Herbert. And I also like the way that they've got these three drivers, and at the beginning of every show they have to bring up the little who they are, and it always says Johnny Herbert just 12 races, Martin Brundle 103 races, and then Damon Hill, and it's almost like he knows that's coming up at the bottom. It's like one more title. That slight air of superiority over them, so they all speak for the first time.
Well, funny you should say about the air of superiority, because one of my favourite moments was they were talking about the crash with Alonso and Fiat, was it, in qualifying?
Yeah.
And Johnny was spamming off about how he thought it was Alonso's fault. And then Damon just said, no, you're completely wrong. And he just completely backed down and was like, oh, okay, Damon, you're world champion. You're probably right.
Sorry, Damon. I said, I knew what you were talking about. I didn't see that.
I didn't see that at all. But it was the way that Damon was saying... Damon, to back up the fact that Alonso should have been looking in his mirrors, said to Johnny, sorry, world champion, meaning world champion Alonso. Whereas Johnny read it as, sorry,
I'm a fucking world champion. Pipe down.
Pipe down. Sit down, sunshine. Which was quite funny. And they made a joke about it for the rest of the weekend that whatever Damon says, that Johnny Herbert would just change his opinion after Damon.
But that is largely what happened.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant bit at the beginning of qualifying when they're all standing on the grid, and it like I said, they're really neat, but it just looks, it's so rehearsed, isn't it, that they start off standing in that formation, and they had a really awkward segue where Lazenby was like, he's chatting to them, and he's gone down the line and asked them all what they think about the race coming up, and he's like, good, just going to leave you now, and just turned around and starts walking off. But it was just the way that they all stood there in the same formation until they were out of shot, just like they thought they weren't done yet and had to wait there.
Lazenby's not good at those segues. No. He was interviewing Claire from Williams.
Claire Williams?
She could have been married to someone else.
And she is, for all I know. I was being facetious.
Claire. I think it is Claire Williams. I didn't want to go there. I was like, Claire Williams. And finished talking to her and just looked at her, went, "Thanks, Claire," and just looked away, looked at the camera, really, and she had some sign of embarrassingly
okay.
Oh, we're done.
He's
there.
Been watching too much of Brundle on the pit walk, and he thinks that's just social etiquette to just be like, anyway, there's no time pressure here. And then they cut to a few times they cut to like obviously Lazenby when the qualifying was delayed. He had the biggest fucking umbrella you've ever seen.
Who did?
It was amazing. Lazenby.
Oh, Lazenby.
His umbrella, it was like watching on widescreen, the whole umbrella didn't fit in the shot. It was so good. It looked like a parasol.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought he was going to pan out, he was going to say Strongbow on the side or something. Just holding his thing over his shoulder, he looked fucking absurd. So the phrase of the weekend, though, it got used so many times, and I don't know why. And there was two phrases of the weekend, but the first one, I haven't heard anyone say this for real in my life, but I can't remember who it was even that said it. Who's the guy that does the commentary?
Crofty.
Yeah, Crofty.
We're really good with names this week.
Yeah, not on it. Said a cocker snook.
What the fuck is that?
I know, in fact, it wasn't him. It was Damon Hill. Of course it was Damon Hill.
The frosted
Damon.
Man. His hair.
But he went, he's really kind of cocking a snook. He was talking to Christian, I'm remembering this more as I go along. He was speaking to Christian Horner about them ignoring the Ricciardo's fuel problems, or the, you know, the fuel gauge problems. And he went, you've really cocked a snook at the FIA there.
And did Christian go, what the fuck is
it's a bit
that?
Forward, mate.
Did you Google it? Is it a thing?
I've heard it before.
I've never heard that.
You haven't? No. But
a snook.
I mean, it's
what
like...
What does it mean, though?
Flipping the V's, basically. That's an incredibly glib way to put it. But, like, yeah.
It's the
1920s version of, yeah. Not, like, honouring or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it, that he earnestly said it with no irony. And, yeah, it's very amusing.
Relevant, as always.
Yeah. It's just like he is... Because it wasn't even that long ago that he was racing. But it's like he's trying to embody the spirit of a kind of 1920s.
His dad, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, even older. I reckon. Yeah. I reckon he wished he could have worn goggles and a leather hat.
We all do.
And then the other one, and this was David Croft, was a gentleman's excuse me.
What the fuck?
He kept saying, "No, it'll be no gentleman's excuse me."
That does it again.
Is that a euphemism, mate?
Yeah. Gentleman's road.
Yeah, I think he was kind of saying, like, it's not going to be polite. Like, he was talking in the context of, like, overtaking manoeuvres, but it's like, oh, there's going to be no gentleman's excuse me. It's like, is that a naughty duchess?
Oh, man, no, I missed those, both of those. Mm. Christ, yeah. Well, I hope, maybe there's some kind of bet that they've looked up these Victorian insults.
I reckon that was it. That started me thinking that they're all one of those things where they've got to try and use the most antiquated expression they can. There's like a tenor on it.
So I'm all over that. I think that's a good thing. Did you notice, I did notice in qualifying that Screech from Save Father's Bell was on the Skypad this week. No Anthony Davidson.
No, yeah, I noticed that, actually. Yeah. Has he been usurped?
I don't know, but Screech did quite a good job.
He did do a good job. Compared to Anthony Davis, because I thought Anthony Davis was pretty good.
He is good, but yeah. Obviously, made you realise how tiny Anthony is. Yeah. Bruno Senna.
Oh, it's an iPad.
Bruno Senna was holding the iPad.
It's just because he's prettier, I think.
Like, it's like, what are these tiny little fingerprints?
Yeah. Oh, it's been some burrowers on it. Yeah, no, The ladies love Bruno Senna, I've discovered.
Well, he's apparently a total fucking dreamboat, mate, that's why.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be it. So, yeah, they've upgraded. They've got to get the women interested in F1. They've decided that with the kind of just, endemic misogyny of Formula 1, they were like, well, the only way that we've got to go is some man meets. Just crack out the Senna.
Get him in there.
But you notice, maybe, again, this was them trying to, like, yeah, shatter preconceptions. They let Natalie Pinkham eat an ice cream while she was presenting. Okay. They did this whole section where every time it cut back to her, she'd eat more and more of her Magnum. But I didn't really get what... Look, it was kind of a nice editing flourish.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like illustrating anything other than like she likes ice cream, maybe? I don't know. I just thought, you professional love. Yeah, finish your ice cream and then do the piece to camera.
Did you watch the F1 show?
I have done historically and recently.
Oh, it's different now.
Is it?
What I will say, the F1 show now.
All I remember about the F1 show is the time they did with Martin Brundle to his webcam when he was in his house, and I kept thinking that woman that works for Ferrari was going to walk past in one of his shirts. I think I've used that joke on the podcast before.
It's fine, no one listens to the old ones.
Yeah, exactly.
We just recycle them. But the F1 show now is in front of a large studio audience.
Is it?
We should totally try and get tickets for that.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Kimmy's toilet break t-shirt.
Yeah. So, I guess, you've got to be at the Grand Prix, so that's hard enough. And then
it's filmed in London.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So we can do that.
I thought it was like an F1 forum style thing where they did it at the...
No, and they get people to ask the most inane questions, and then Brundle just shoots them down in spectacular style.
Awesome. Like,
no holds barred.
Yeah.
Where'd
you get your gold jewellery, Martin? I did manage to, like I said, I saw the build-up to qualifying,
because
I started watching it, and then because it was delayed, I didn't ever get to finish it. So then I saw all the build-up and then just Q3. In the build-up... They were talking about the engine noise.
Yeah.
You must already know where I'm going with this. They were speaking to Bernie, and they were asking him about the engine noise. And he was, like, doing his standard Bernie thing of, like, one sentence to the other, completely contradicting himself.
Mm.
Like, literally saying something and then saying the inverse of it in the next sentence, and then rearranging the words of the previous sentence and saying that again. And just when, like, I reckon if he just walked away and left him on his own, he would just continue... perpetually have that argument with himself forever, and that's why there's always people with him.
Yeah, wake up, Bernie.
Bernie, got to do some walking now. He's still there. The money was just resting in the account. Yeah, so anyway, they asked him about the engine noise, and he was talking about it being not as bad as he'd thought.
Right.
But apparently he wasn't at the last race.
He wasn't at the race.
No, he was like, "Oh, now I've heard it in person." I was like, "What the fuck were you doing last weekend?"
Been on pre-season,
in court probably.
Probably.
And then he goes, "Yeah, it's all right. We just need to get it up a bit more." Wish I could.
Oh,
it was so awkward. But whoever he was with, the like delegate from I don't know some Malaysian oil company or something, was standing next to him. Fucking loved that. He was all over it. Funniest thing he'd ever heard. He didn't stop laughing for the rest of the interview.
Let's go. People around.
Get it
him.
Up. Get it up.
Get out. It's fine. He probably has a lot of people laugh at a lot of his jokes. This is the problem with people in power like him.
Exactly.
People think he's very funny. Bernie. Quite scary, isn't he?
It's terrifying. Like,
he is terrifying, man.
I just think, behind closed doors, what's he like? Does he just, like, shoot kittens in the face, like, just to release stress at the end of the day? Yeah.
And then shoots them.
And then shoots their dead bodies.
Yeah, around the place.
I don't know. There's just something intrinsically creepy about him. Mm. There's just something malevolent.
You know what I think it is? He is...
Is this, like...
How old is he? He must be in his 80s.
So is this slanderous? This is kind of defamatory.
Oh, yeah, you know what Bernie's like. Fuck.
It's very litigious.
He...
Sort of like podcasts that 30 people listen to.
I think it's something to do with the very long grey hair that is quite weird for
the bald
man
hair
his age.
Hair.
Yeah. I think that's quite unusual.
I don't know. I think it's the misappropriation of public money.
To you.
But just I thought it might be the hair. It might be the hair. It's really hard to pin that minute. I don't know him.
It's just the hair for me, mate.
Okay.
We are 15 minutes in, and we have not mentioned any of the actual qualifying results. So you've all watched anyway. Let's move on. The Red Bull, actually,
was the only one that was close, wasn't it, really?
The only one that was close. But when... So Lewis obviously on pole, and Vettel and Rosberg. They showed Hamilton did his kind of run through the lap.
Yeah, I watched that.
And he realised just how skittish it was and just how he was not
exactly.
pushing.
I was having this conversation with my sister when we were watching the race, because before the race started we watched a bit of the build-up, including Lewis talking through his pole lap.
Mm.
And if you were watching that, and he didn't know who was talking through his pole lap, there's no way you would think that was the pole. Yeah. It was crazy that was the fastest lap.
As fast as he could
manage. Not just it, out of all 20 drivers and all those cars. That was the best one.
Especially when he was going on to the home straight.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to have any... I thought, oh, he's broken down.
They accelerate so late. That's what I don't get. I do get why, obviously, it's because of the torque. But, like, the wheel obviously has to be completely... The wheels have to be pointing in the straight line before they put any power down. But it just... Like, I don't know, you get this compulsion to be like, accelerate, because around every corner, you can just hear the engine, it goes quiet, and it's like, where you're used to the throttle, kicking back in, and it's just not until they're all the way around the corner and back pointing in a straight line again.
Mm.
And it just feels like you know, there must be so much time to be gained there and stuff, and then you just see a couple of the crashes, and or even on Lewis's lap, there's one corner if you watch like that back.
It's so totally
where you just hear him come on the throttle a bit early, like where you're used to hearing them come on the throttle, and the back almost just spins him 360 straight away. And they, I mean, it's great. There was so many incidents like that where you get the onboard of a car behind and you just see the dude in front properly like wiggle the tail as they accelerate.
It's brilliant. They're earning their money.
Yeah, they are. They look really hard to drive, and that kind of makes it all exciting. At the end of the race, Lewis said, they asked him if it was the best car he'd ever had, and he was like, oh, not to say, but yeah. But it's like, you're going to feel like such a dick for saying that. It's going to come back to haunt you, because you don't know, like, Red Bull might overtake you. You might not win another race all season, and in 10 races time you'll be going, this car's a piece of shit, like, you know, it's way too early to say it's the best car you've ever driven, surely, because clearly it's not as easy to drive as just like, say, last season's car, which, okay, Mercedes last season wasn't as good compared to everyone else, but actually surely that was a nicer car to drive, wasn't it? Like, I don't know, maybe
nicer experience, but I guess he is such an aggressive driver that it must be,
maybe he's liking it that everyone's finding it so hard, and he's obviously got a handle on it pretty well.
I mean, for someone like him who is reasonably aggressive, it must be fucking adrenaline. It's such a rush trying to drive that car as well. It probably is good fun. Before we go into the race detail, pre-race build-up.
Did you watch
the pre-race build-up?
I didn't get, because of recording it and getting back late, I just fast-forwarded it through. And I listened to some of it, so I might have seen the bits that you're
Not an amazing pre-race build-up, I have to say.
Yeah.
But I actually watched the race first and then the pre-race build-up, just because
I
got up late and I just kind of fast-forwarded. I thought, I might get a text or accidentally see the result, rather get to the result quicker and then watch that. And there was a great bit about, because obviously last year in Malaysia was when they had the multi-21 incident.
So are you talking about the Damon and Johnny recreating that?
Yeah.
That is one of the bits that I did watch. Like, are they running out of things to say about the race? Because that was just fucking ridiculous. They could have just surmised it into two sentences. They should have just played in the footage from last year, because that was amazing last year, wasn't it?
I thought, they not the rights to the footage? It's, when you just watch two old men in golf carts recreating.
It's just really, really like, cringe-inducing. It was really, really bad. Like, they must have really been struggling for features that week. They were like, what have we got? We've got nothing. We just, I don't know, can you dip around in some golf carts? That's literally all we've
they
got.
They did all of that whole...
When they said we're going to recreate it, I was like, fucking amazing. If they got, like, last year's, like, Williams or something, and they're going to rag it around. Nope. Couldn't get the insurance.
But they did that whole cringy section about recreating it. And then when they came back to Lazenby and Co., they did a whole thing about team orders outside Massa's garage. They were like, imagine what would happen today if there was a team orders thing. What do you think? I was thinking, this is, spooky.
Yeah. I seem to remember, just as they were talking about it, someone, like, walked past, didn't he? They were talking about the...
They're outside the Williams garages. Yeah. Going, what would happen today? And they were like, I don't know. I don't think it would be so much of an issue, blah, blah, blah.
Turned out to be quite prophetic, didn't
it? Yes, it did. That's where I was going with that, in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
So that was quite funny.
The only other thing that that I really noticed, they had Benedict Cumberbatch there.
Yes, quite random.
Who seemed to know about as much
as
Yeah, I was going to say, like... I mean, not even enough to do a shit podcast, to be honest. Like, obviously has an interest in it, but it's like, and you're going to get him to go up with that? It'd be like giving us the microphone.
I was like, well, actually,
it's probably a bit better, because he's like a professional actor and stuff. Like,
he can at least play.
Probably not going to be overwhelmed by the situation, but I mean, in terms of his knowledge of F1, I thought, he must have been bricking it during the race, thinking, what the fuck am I going to ask him?
I was imagining, because I didn't realise.
I really wanted him to go up there and be like, do like a Sherlock Holmes and be like, oh, so you've recently won a Formula One race. I can tell that because of the trophy.
That would have been brilliant. If he'd gone up there in full poles, tyre, fucking pipe, deer stalker hat. Amazing. It's a photoshopping to be done. I didn't realise until, because I saw him, they focus on him a bit during the coverage, obviously in the Williams garage or wherever he was.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, fuck, he was doing the podium things. I didn't realise he knew all through the race that he was going to be doing the podium. Mm. And like you say, I would have been shitting it, going, I've got to think it's something really good to talk about. You can enjoy the race knowing that. But like you say, he's a professional. He's probably used to that.
So. I reckon there was someone there. Like, I don't reckon they just let him make questions. Yeah, they just go, oh, there's this. And... Although his questions were quite a lot more... they weren't so... directed, like normally they just say, how was the race for you, or something like
that. I liked his style of
But he kind of, he asked like kind of quite specific, specific instances and was more like, how are you feeling like during this bit? And you know, you kind of, I guess more the kind of thing that a layperson would ask rather than someone really clinically just being like, let's start the race then.
Next week, Christian Bale, that'd be amazing. But I was thinking to myself, oh God, I was only saying the other day, he's in bloody everything at the moment. And then he's doing the fucking F1.
Formula 1, next week he's going to be driving one of the cars.
It's like, fuck me. What else? Oh, in the pre-race, they were talking about the flow sensor stuff, and obviously that is a massive minefield.
Is it though, still, when you think, I mean, to me, look on the surface of it, it seems like everyone else is fine with it, and Red Bull are going, no, we don't like it.
Our sensor's much more better than yours. Not listening. they just want to use their own stuff. And I believe it was Damon referred to it. He said, what Christian's doing, he's doing a Putin. I was like, whoa, where are we going with this one, mate? That's my kind of fucking analogy.
Thin ice, mate.
It's like, what?
What did he carry on with that?
I was so flabbergasted, I don't even know. He didn't start going, well, Crimea. The sensor itself is like Crimea. This is what you need to understand.
The fuel line's like the Ukraine.
Crofty. He is... I find him a source of amusement all the time, just being on screen. I don't know why. He's quite a nice guy, but I do find. But he had they did the bit where they showed him.
He is a total awkward dad, isn't he?
He's quite an awkward dad, and they show him in his little booth. Mm. He had the BBC F1 website up on his laptop.
Brilliant.
I was like, come on, brand Crofty.
That's amazing.
I know the Sky website's shit.
Yeah, the Sky production crew must have been like in his ear, going, fucking minimise.
Minimise, it's got OK Cupid, minimise. Red pupil.
I can't believe he doesn't have a shortcut to just title with that shit.
Get rid of it all. So Crofty had the BBC. What was he thinking? The pit walk wasn't very good this time. Nothing too
eventful. I didn't actually watch any of that. I fast-forwarded through it to see if anything interesting is happening, but he didn't get any good drive. He was speaking to like Max Chilton.
That's right. The thing that they did, they were panning around, it was like, oh, there's Christian, and he was talking to Bernie and looking quite intently, and then he was whispering to Bernie's ear, and then Bernie kind of shocked, looked at Christian, then pointed to himself like me, and I was trying to imagine what Christian was doing, like, yes, Bernie, go fuck yourself.
I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
I'm going to put a pillow over you. I'm going to cut your fucking hair off. we need more beer. This is,
mine's ages ago, mate. I don't know how you're nursing that still. We're half an hour in.
I know, terrible. I can't believe you didn't pick up more than one. Well, I decided that the podcast would go much better lubricated.
Yeah, and you wanted to put in a beer feature into our Formula One podcast. I appreciate the motivation for it. I think it's in the right spirit.
What I was thinking was that we should have a drink that's relevant to the location of the...
Yeah.
And week one was quite easy. I was going to bring...
Castlemaine. Or something.
Colour Forexes. As it turned out, I brought to your flat two really nice ales, a blue moon and something else, and proceeded to slip up the steps and smash them
into
just as I arrived.
Oblivion. Not just like, oh shit, back against the glass quick. This is like...
completely smashed. I can't believe I didn't cut myself. So,
I almost cut you.
Yeah.
Just for dropping the beer.
Cut you. So this week I decided... go a little bit more budget, for the risk of me smashing it.
It's lovely.
And this week's podcast is sponsored by Sainsbury's Taste the Difference American Pale Ale.
It's not. just to put that in there, just in case. It's obviously not. We've said the word cunt about 8 times. So what's my saying, please?
5.3%. Have you got anything to say about it?
I thought it was nice. It would have been better if it was cold.
Oh, I see.
Not necessarily cold, just not warm. I thought it was quite good. Yeah,
yeah, 5.3%. And you've got £1.50, which is...
That's good. Good. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I thought Malaysia. What do they drink in Malaysia?
I don't know.
You've been to Malaysia.
I have. Milk in Malaysia is rank. Is it? I don't know what they're doing to the cows there, but it tastes like arse. So don't drink milk in Malaysia.
Milk.
But I don't know what the traditional drink is there.
And then I realised what a terrible idea it was.
I drank orange juice in Malaysia because it's the only thing I trusted.
No, I wouldn't bring that.
Came out of a carton.
And then I thought, oh, next week it's Bahrain. They just drink fucking rose water. I'm not going to drink that.
I want 2 magnums of rose water next week.
Yeah. Just spray them all over the laptop. So it's just going to be whatever I can book to pick
different
up on the way to.
Well, I would say for £1.50, not getting anything, but the Sainsbury's taste is different to American Pale. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I'm quite a fan of the own brand ales because they're normally just a brewery.
They are because they can't be fucked. They're such small quantities. This one is actually brewed by Taproom Brewery in New York. So
they probably sell.
They're quite good.
I was going to say they've got a label probably, haven't they? That they sell under.
So there you go, guys. That's this week's guest ale.
Yeah, done. That's lovely, mate.
Any nominations for next week? Let us know. Anything we should check out? That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We should be encouraging more because apparently some people listen to this. I'm dubious, to be honest, whether that's the case. But I thought the end of last week's episode was quite acerbic. It was quite, oh, and fuck off. We don't really mean that. If you think it's shit, we'd genuinely like to know why you think it's shit so that we can try and make it not shit. But, any communication is massively appreciated.
Yeah.
Just to know there's some people there. So if you think anything about F1 that you think we should know... Or you've just got a good beer that you think we should drink.
Yeah. Actually, the bit about, is there anything about F1 you think we should know? That's quite a long, long list. You might be writing for quite a while.
Yeah, obviously, there's fucking loads we should know. Let's stick to the beers.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, we're more knowledgeable about that. I would debate whether that's even true.
I'm not sure what we're knowledgeable about. But yes, any kind of, leave us a review, leave us some kind of insulting statement about our mums, whatever you want to say. You might even get a mention on the podcast.
Yeah.
Surely, come on, that's bait enough to leave a review.
A while before anyone's proposing to their girlfriend via Kimmy's toilet break.
Well, we'll watch this space.
Yeah, we'll see.
So yeah, I think I've gone slightly, only a little bit off track, but
yeah,
it's Kimmy related. He likes
it. It is. I mean, we're 37 minutes in, we haven't talked about the race yet, so we should probably crack on.
Yeah,
let's crack on with that. The beginning of the race. It was a really exciting first lap.
Yeah.
As always with F1, very little happened after that.
Done.
The first lap. Ricardo had this amazing start on Vettel, got past him. Vettel kind of like that. Admittedly, he did get back past him pretty quick.
Yeah.
So the Mercs got ahead. And then, really, if we're honest, top five never changed apart from that.
Mm.
The only thing that really ever came into it was the Hulkster, Hulkenberg, had one of those races, like he always does, and they were even saying, exactly what we were saying. They were like, it's not like we ever end up talking about Hulkenberg. It's every fucking race is always right there.
Yeah.
They're always just going, so good considering what a shit car he's got and all of that stuff. It's just and all of these wanky drivers in good teams. So it's just mind-blowing that he's not in a better team. But another amazing race, tried to do a two-stopper, kind of didn't really work out, but he was in the mix for a long time, wasn't he?
I was
there was a big gap after him as well. It was the top five and then everyone else, and he was part of that.
The thing I noticed was what car's that? I didn't even recognise the livery. And then I was fuck, it's because Hulkenberg is outperforming a car again.
That, I mean, genuinely, the little stripes that they've got, the colour stripes, that's actually quite useful.
Quite helpful. At first, you're making a rod for your own back there. There's two silver ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, there is a couple that are two silver. And later on in the season, it's pointless. But for the first couple of races, when you're still remembering that everyone's moved around and the different drivers are the different teams.
So, good work over designing that shit. It's good.
I think they should, I don't know, it's a good idea. I think the implementation, like you said, they've ended up with a grey and off-grey for the McLaren.
Doesn't work so well. And did you notice they've given them all custom number designs as well?
All right, no.
So Kobayashi's, I don't know if they're taking the piss, looks like someone's crashed through a wall. It's like a big explosion with a 20 in it. And he's got it on his hat as well, and they have it on the screen when he's got doing the driver lineups. I think
that's amazing. I did not see that.
They should all have like ones that suit their personality.
Oh, that'd be amazing if it was like community led as well, and like it was just that there'd be a vote on like the F1 forum what their logo had to be.
Yeah.
You just take like 10 submissions and you just vote for it, and then you've got to have that forever.
That on the you know where they do the graphic show.
I know what you mean actually.
It's brilliant. And on that driver lineup bit, Kvyat.
Kvyat.
Oh my god, he looks like a Bond villain in training. Like he's so scary. Have you seen him in the
I haven't seen his face
oh
yet.
Oh my god.
No.
Look out for him next week.
Yeah, I will.
Quite a scary guy. And he's interviewed, he's... So yeah, first lap, always.
First lap, yeah. So Merck's kind of sped ahead of everyone. Red Bull's kind of squabbled a little bit, but ultimately third and fourth for most of the race. And then, I believe last week I said Lewis was going to win.
You did. I thought that was going to be, I went a bit off pace.
He wasn't, was he?
He didn't win, though, did he?
I
mean, he didn't win, though.
But unfortunately, my other predictions were Alonso and Button.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Alonso was fifth, and in that kind of position where... Oh, no, he's fourth in the end, wasn't he? And in that kind of position where you think, it's classic Alonso, the car was a bit crap, but he was really, pounding out the laps, and it would have just taken, an incident between Rosberg and Vettel, who got quite close at the end, or just, any incident, he would have been there to take advantage of it. So it wasn't minimised off. Jensen, on the other hand, was kind of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I guess the track just didn't suit the car as much.
No, they did say that, Merger said that they were starting to show their weaknesses a bit.
Yeah.
This qualifying and stuff, so hopefully they'll.
But, I think they're obviously at a much better starting point. Like, this time last season, they were, 2 seconds off the pace, weren't they? Or 2.5 seconds off the pace. It was ridiculous. So.
And Magus did get a penalty as well, which seemed a bit harsh, I thought.
For the wing clip thing. But then they've introduced... Is that a new thing, or have they just decided to start using an existing rule? But they've done all this five-second penalty thing, which means you don't have to come into the pits.
Mm.
But when you do your stop, you've got
then
to...
You can tag it on.
So you don't... It's not like a 30-second penalty, which the 10-second stop and go was essentially...
You're
40-second penalty, it's like a lap. So I think that's a really good idea, because it's like, it's a slap on the wrist, isn't it? And I think that's a better way. I quite like that rule. I mean, most of the rule changes they do to F1 are fucking stupid, because they're like, Bernie decides then when he's on amphetamines or something.
On Wolfram, probably.
Just on all his meds, and he's like, fuck it.
double. Pastor Maldonado reverting to tight. Brilliant. On the first lap.
But I really don't like him. I don't know what it is. I didn't think I was racist against Venezuelans.
Turns out,
yeah. Only one I know. I think he's a cop. I don't know why it is. He just seems really... He seems to come across really entitled and really arrogant. And it's like, you're shit, mate. You're really not very good at driving compared to... I know that he is obviously amazing at driving compared to normal people, but compared to all the other F1 guys, it's like, you're with the big boys now.
Yeah.
Stop thinking you're the shit. And it's because he's got like all these like massive sponsors, because he's the only famous sportsman from Venezuela. So he's got like the whole country's oil reserves behind him.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a Venezuelan that's like really good at netball or something, and once they steal the limelight...
It's just giving him all the oil money.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. I don't know, he really winds me up. I don't know what it is about him. I've just taken a dislike to his face, to be honest. there's literally no justification.
Like his braces, do you?
But whenever he speaks, I'm like, oh, fuck. Not a fan of him.
But they did go pretty wild on the penalties, like Ricciardo. I am a big fan. Not Ricciardo, Ricciardo.
Ricciardo, yeah. No, it's Ricciardo, it's fine.
Yeah.
Even Senna was like, he's fucking Ricciardo. He's annoying it, I'm calling him Ricciardo.
But he got heavily... It was like three in a row, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was their own fault. They didn't fasten his wheel on.
It was.
But yeah, he got real... shafted, didn't he? Mm. That whole race, like, so good when he went past Vettel. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. I think he looks like a moron. Like, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but he just looks like a stupid dog. Like, you know what I mean? He's a big grin and the eyes and everything, and you just think, I reckon he'd struggle with basic maths, but obviously fucking brilliant at driving.
We're not super sure on the podcast as well. But...
No, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. He just seems a bit.
I think he has got that. When you hear him post race now, because he was really pissed off with Bottas, I think it was. And
I haven't heard
the radio as well. he's got a fucking killer instinct. He has proper like changes from the nice smiley dude.
Yeah.
I like that. I think if him and Vettel get in a scrap, he's gonna.
I'd be all up for that. I'm impressed with him so far, just in terms of the fact that when he came up from Toro Rosso, the impression I got was that everyone kind of thought that Verne was the better driver, like the public perception, but obviously within Red Bull, they totally didn't think that, and they've obviously got all the data and know the people to like make that decision. But when they chose him, I was like, I thought this is just
someone to be the whipping boy for Vettel, you know, second driver, but actually he's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he got round Vettel, and the, you know, that takes balls to just, like, go for that. Like, you know, you don't want to piss off Vettel, really, do you? Look what happened to Webber, they're, like, in the cupboard, mate. Like, it could just be the same thing for him. But
I think Webber must be loving it watching at home as well. Just thinking,
do you think, or do you think,
grit, come on?
Do you think, or do you think he's like, oh, I should have stayed another season?
They were always close, weren't they? I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, another young Aussie upstart.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of him. I think he comes across a bit simple, but he seems like a lovely guy.
Talking of the penalties, when they were showing how dodgy the tyre change had been and they're parking halfway at the pit, I thought it was Vettel, and I leapt out of my seat and was screaming at the. I was like, yes!
Yes!
Oh, no! Oh, no!
We were watching that just going, oh, it's so painful when this happens, isn't it? Because it's like, it's just so long. Like, it's so long. It's way worse than any other thing going wrong in terms of getting back on the track.
Yeah.
Like, it seems that when they've got a limp round for half a lap with three wheels, it's like, oh, this is taking ages, but they're still going quite fast. Like, when it's actual men running to then push a car back, you're like, oh.
It's because they're actually going 50 miles an hour out of that pit.
Yeah.
Well, not instantly, but that's the speed they do in that pit lane, which is a lot.
But then the mechanics are running all of their shit.
Yeah.
And then, so then they drag the car back, and like all of them have run down, and then there was about three of them that didn't have anything to do. They just kind of jogged along next to them back to the pits. Yeah, come on, guys, you're doing a really good job.
Lenny Kravitz had some wonderful insights when that was going. He said about Ricciardo's final stop, he said, they're taking their time as quick as they can.
Yeah, I remember that,
Nice.
I was like, oh, is it trying to be really profound there? It's like they're taking their time, as in they're being thorough, but I was like, no, that just doesn't make any sense. That literally doesn't make any sense.
I do love Ted. Ted, we love you if you're listening. You're the best.
He's the best one.
And other race highlights, I think Hulkenberg, his moves on Alonso near the end.
Yeah.
Willing. I like both drivers, but...
There were some really good bits of driving around those chicanes, weren't there?
Yeah.
They said the track's kind of designed for that, like the overtake, then the undercut and the overtake, but we saw it happen both ways around, you know, where the move did actually finally come off and where it didn't. And yeah, that was one of them. It was really good. And then at the end, which is what we haven't come onto yet, which was kind of the best thing, was the Williams team orders, which was just amazing.
I think that Massa will not... He doesn't recognise any... He's like a dog and its master. He won't recognise anyone's voice but Rob Smedley's.
Yeah, Rob Smedley doesn't say it.
He didn't come on. So I was like, I can't hear you guys.
and Rob, you can
tell that Rob is so loyal. He's not telling a man to move over.
When I said to move over, you tell him.
Yeah, totally.
And he was standing there with his arms crossed looking away.
That's my boy. He's done this so long at Ferrari.
He has been the bitch everywhere. And they were saying, you know, before that he was Schumacher's bitch, and then he was Alonso's bitch, and now he's gone as the senior team member to Williams, and they're like, oh no, bitch.
Bitch, sorry, we're not listening back in the car. It says bitch. Quite big writing.
Do you remember when you signed your contract? Yeah. Actually said bitch.
Yeah, I had my hand over that. Like in the films. it was just comedy. But his defence, and a lot of people who I thought was quite naive were saying, well, if he Bottas couldn't get past him, but that's not the
point. It's not the point at all. There were so many times when Bottas got close enough that he was being slowed down by him.
If there wasn't a car there, he would have been further up the track.
Yeah,
it's the turbulent air, it's the fact there's a car-shaped car-sized car in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And he couldn't get past on the straights for whatever reason. But yeah, it was in all the corners where they were gathering up, and you could see him, having to lift off early and delay his acceleration even more to let Massa get out of the fucking way. I don't know if he would have caught Jensen.
I don't know.
He definitely would have had a better chance than Massa did. Like, and it was just so petulant, wasn't it? The way that they were like, let him through, and suddenly Massa starts putting in these lap times that are like half a second faster than
the standard
race.
Trying before then.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what the fuck? Is every race that they're just going to start off being like, yeah, let him through on like the first lap. Let him all through, Felipe. Let him all through.
Oh, he's making an effort.
Yeah.
So, radio communication of the week?
Yeah.
Are we maintaining that?
Yeah, let's go
let's
for it.
Let's do it.
So, my best one was, which I really want, I know I'm going to move away, you're going to have to do an edit here, because I think we should just play it in.
Okay, if we can find it.
If we can find it. It's just Ricky Hunter going, what shall I do?
Really?
Yeah. Well, after like the third time his car had fucked up, the wing, really? Yeah, the wing came off, and there was just one radio communication just going, "What should I do?" Just like in isolation, that is going to be amazing.
That's brilliant.
So, yeah, I've got to
at least be remixed in the song. Yeah. What should I do? It sounds like one throwing the right.
Yeah, it was. It really was. You've got to find it.
No, I haven't seen that. I will try and find that. I will put that.
And also, did you know that Bono is Lewis's race engineer?
Bono.
Yeah.
I might have thought that actually during the race. I think I had.
They said, "Oh, that's Bono Lewis's race engineer." I was like, "Fucking hell!" How are you doing?
I do remember
always going to hear.
Because I was thinking of that scene, I always think when I think of Bono from Anna Partridge,
yeah,
where they pretend he's Bono. How is the edge? The edge is fame. How's the drummer? The drummer is fame.
How's the car, Lewis? The car is fame.
The car is fame. So, yeah, I did think of that.
That was amazing, yeah. I don't know how I've never picked up on that before, that Lewis's race engineer is called Bono.
Lewis, every time you overtake someone, a child dies in Africa. Click. Stop clicking your fucking fingers then, mate. Oh dear.
Amazing.
Yeah. I think that's a good nomination for radio coverage.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And what about coverage in general? Any highlights from the coverage?
My absolute highlight, which was amazing. It wasn't any of the pundits or anything, just generally the best thing was when Gutierrez went out when he was overheating. It was right near the end of the race, and he pulled into the garage, and there was all smoke coming off his car.
Oh,
like, so
going, no.
Like, it was all overheating, and the mechanics were like, they had the fans and everything, like, trying to, you know, I guess just clear the smoke, and they were like jacking the car up onto the put it away jack, you know, the tray they put underneath it. To, like, put
I think
away.
That's what they call it, the put it away jack. It's a technical term. You should take Lenny Kravitz's shot.
I shouldn't. There was just one mechanic, people will definitely have noticed this, it was fucking priceless. There was just one mechanic that way after everyone else had gone, was still on his knees by the front left tyre, just blowing on it.
Yeah, that's good.
The whole car is like fucking plumes of smoke coming out of it. Like, they've just retired from the race. We know the brakes operate at like 10,000 degrees or whatever. It's literally,
I've got this guy.
It's like, don't worry guys, we'll be back out in a minute.
That was fucking quality. Oh, he is. We need to find out who he is. Ricardo, do you know what he's got on his? Do you know what he's got on his helmet?
Yes, I do.
He's got
a
fucking honey badger.
They said that he had that last season, I think.
Did he?
Yeah, they've talked about it before, or they, maybe it was in pre-season.
Do you think they understand why that's funny?
I don't think they do. Well, I don't think that's funny. I don't think they understand why he thinks that's funny.
Yeah.
I understand why he thinks that's funny, but I think putting a 5-year-old internet meme on your helmet is it going to be like Lewis has got like a Doge helmet next week and he's like driving around with like such overtake, much win.
Maybe, controversially, he just likes honey badgers.
Maybe it is. Maybe he's just a very keen amateur zoologist and he just really admires the honey
badgers. Honey badgers.
Yeah.
Fucking piss.
I think, I should imagine due to the my aforementioned character assassination, Ricardo is probably just because he's like, they don't give a shit.
Honey badgers don't give a fuck. There are a number of perverts on the camera crew team.
Yeah, that's all sporting events has Perv cam.
One guy in particular did a close-up of Rosberg's girlfriend in the pit.
They love the slow zoom, don't they?
Slow zoom.
It's so awkward.
And Crofty, in his...
Was he really tactful?
said, pretty hot, talking about the temperature, yeah. But it just said, pretty hot. And then he tried to qualify that by saying, in the cockpit. I was like... Mate, wait till she's off camera.
Yeah, not good.
Michael.
Oh dear, Dad.
Don't say that.
Every time he says anything, that is all I think.
And then after the race, Damon was... They were talking about the fact that Lewis had equaled or beaten Damon Hill's record of race wins. 23. It's looking at me like he's going to say something.
Because I was under the impression that he matched the Jim Clark.
Jim Clark. Good point.
Yeah. I mean, that is what they say. I don't know if you've done some fact-checking yourself.
Well, for some unknown reason, it might have been pole positions, actually.
I was going to say that the... I didn't think it was race. Was it Jim Clark?
Are we going to have to, like, Google this?
No.
No. Well, they said to Damon... Damon gutted about Lewis beating his record of 23 wins. He might have just been referring to Jim Clark, I don't know. He said, yeah, but he is younger and has more potential. I was thinking, well, if you are referring to Jim Clark, he's very dead. Not a lot of potential there. And I was thinking, Damon...
No, I reckon he's good for a comeback.
Yeah.
Watch this face.
Sorry, Damon, we didn't think you were going to have another run at it. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, if it was Jim Clark, bit of a strange one, so...
yeah, well, presumably, there's every race there's probably a stat that you can pull about something that's better than what Damon Hill did.
More grey hairs.
Did you see Lewis starts going great? That's gonna be brilliant.
It's gonna be.
I don't know why I find that thought really funny, but like, imagine if he had his chin strap and everything, but it was all grey.
Did you see you've got a chin strap at the moment? Ed's got a chin strap.
Yeah,
it's inspired
by Lewis
Hamilton
so much.
His hair was quite fluffy this week.
Yeah,
did you notice,
out the back
race,
of his cap.
He was trying desperately.
Are we actually
to make
talking
it...
about Lewis's hair on the podcast? I think we are.
We have reached new depths.
Yeah,
I know you thought there was a lower.
Does that mean we're done?
The podcast is going to
be. Did you notice the fluffiness of Lewis's hair this week? Yeah, I think you know what I said about just putting out the good stuff.
When did you see the podium? You saw it, obviously.
Yeah, but
then they come back.
Yeah,
come pants. Come on, fans.
Yeah,
that's quite funny.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just got into the habit of calling him that.
And Lewis mentioned, obviously, the lost flight tragedy when he was being interviewed. And
yeah.
Then Nico, after he had finished his interview, was like, Benedict was trying to get away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He said...
And obviously couldn't hear him, because Benedict can't actually carry on talking.
I'm fucking up, mate.
I just want to thank
just
the massive
thing.
Oil conglomerate.
I thought he was about to say, yeah, I'd like to dedicate this. And he was like, big shout out to Patronus.
Yeah, big up Patronus. P-Dog!
Yeah, it's like, class.
Look at those lovely towers that overlook the squalor of downtown Kuala Lumpur. It's magnificent, guys. One more time for Patronus.
High five. Anyone?
Yeah, just me.
Oh, I just thought, keep it classy. I really thought he was about to dedicate it to this.
That struck me as something where... someone's told him to do that, haven't they? Mercedes told him to do
I don't.
That.
I got the
or
impression
he just
fucking around
oil went, so much.
He looked around and went, Patronus. He looked at his own shirt and went, Patronus.
I fucking got it, guys.
Got it. They're going to love
it. They're going to love
it.
Yeah, do you think that was it? And you just thought they're going to be like, good one, Nico, when they come out. I'm like,
well done. Ed, we're going to try and keep this going. Underwhelming performance of the week.
Underwhelming for it's hard to say because I'm so tempted to say Kimi because he just got a punch on.
Let's go with Kimi so we can combine two segments.
Yeah,
Kimi's highlight.
Kimi didn't have any highlights. It's really boring since he's been at Ferrari. I hope he can't. Like I said, he's been really inconspicuous. He's going to come back into it. But this week definitely was the most underwhelming because you're looking for him to do something like, you know, either good or funny, you know, whatever. And he was just not there.
Without a doubt.
Not at the races. So.
I mean, he couldn't get past the Lotuses.
Yeah.
I don't know what it says about them or him, but...
I think he...
Bad.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know if he's just scared to try and go past Grosjean. I can understand that.
Yeah, it's a legitimate concern. No, I think... I think he was just fanging it in. You know, he once he was in last, he was like, oh, that's fucked. Just going to go around and probably tell him to get a test data.
Kimi, sort it out.
So yeah, Kimi week. Definitely the most underwhelming. Performance of the week. It's got to be Hulkenberg.
I was going to say,
every
it's got
time.
To be. Yeah.
Because just outperforming the car.
The way he was really intelligent.
Say Magnussen last week, so that's okay. It's a different one. Yeah,
different person, but we like Hulkenberg. Yeah, the way he was kind of battling a little bit with Alonso, not just recklessly. They're both clearly intelligent drivers.
But that's it. There's a difference between watching two drivers like them squabble and then watching Maldonado and like Gutierrez.
And he's of the same generation as those guys, but he's just
so much
more
level-headed. Yeah.
So yes, absolutely, performance of the week, Hulkenberg. Next race.
Yes, next race.
Bahrain.
Oh, it's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yes. Is it the weekend coming, or have we got a bit of a gap?
No, it's this weekend.
This weekend. Okay. So, predictions. Sorry about the coughing.
That's fine. You're
especially to the end of the race, it's struggling a bit. Predictions. I'm going to let you go first.
I'm totally retracting my kind of optimistic outlook on things and thinking that Jensen's got a chance. I reckon it's so tempting to just be really dull and say, obviously it's going to be the Mercedes. one of the Mercedes is going to win, surely.
Well,
the only other variation is going to be a Red Bull.
Yeah.
I can't help thinking it's going to be a combination of Mercedes and Red Bull on the podium. There might be some historical data and massively overlooking here, like Ferrari is always amazing or something like that. I'm really bad at remembering what happened previous years. All I remember is Bahrain's normally really boring.
Well, put your some names down. Who are you going for?
I'm going to say Lewis is going to do it again.
Lewis.
I reckon he's flying this season. I reckon he would have won the first race if his car hadn't fucked up. He was just different league. And he didn't give him, our prestigious driver of the week award because he just won easily. It was like last season, you would never say Vettel had the best performance, even though he probably did in loads of races because it was just boring. I think he's gonna hold it together, and I think Ricciardo's looking really strong. And if nothing goes wrong, I'm gonna go for Lewis, Ricciardo, Vettel. I think the Red Bull is probably the other around, but I'd like it to be Lewis, Ricciardo, Vettel, just to see Vettel's face when Ricciardo's on the podium ahead of him.
That would be nice.
It was funny when they were interviewing Vettel afterwards, and Vettel always does this in the driver interviews. He still thinks that he's a main attraction. Even when he's come third, he still talks for twice as long as everyone else. It's like, you only get to talk for longer because you won. Doesn't apply. We're not just most interested in you. And he was talking afterwards. He was like, "No, it's a good result for the team because Ricciardo's car went wrong. I don't know what happened there." Exactly. That was it. So he shakes some loose wheel nuts out of his trouser leg. But what about you? What do you reckon?
Well, it's tricky, isn't it? I mean, it's first really hot and not wet, isn't it? It's very unlikely to be a wet race, but
hot and unwet was that? Are you meteorologists?
It's going to be uncold and unwet. What's your problem? Carvey, say picky.
Okay. So in the unhot, unwet conditions, which team do you think is going to be the most unslow?
We should try and do a whole podcast and stuff. I am going to go. I'm trying to think who was good in pre-season. Was there a Bahrain test?
Yeah, there was, actually. That's a sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm more of a passionate man. So I should go with my gut.
I'm going for my hate.
The guy that won last.
Yeah, well done, mate. I'm going to say Ricciardo win.
Yeah, I'd be all up for that.
Bosh, because I want him to.
Yeah, I don't think it's even that I've got a problem with Red Bull winning. I think it's Vettel.
I really want Ricciardo to win.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Vettel starts racking up these race wins ahead of him, because of his car being fucked at the moment, Ricciardo's, it seems really unfair, and slowly he will become the absolute number one.
And they'll start saying, oh, we've got to focus on the championship.
Gossip over. Blah, blah, blah. So I want Ricciardo to win, and it's my prediction. I'm going to say Rosberg Vettel. Got a funny feeling Hamilton's going to go weird. Don't know why. Just vision.
He's going to be mental.
Yeah, he's going to lose it. It's going to be too hot. His hair's going to go funny.
He's having nightmares with his GHDs.
Yeah, so.
Refuses to sleep with this.
So yeah, that's it. We'll say you were more accurate last time. So
yes, 1-0 to Ed this season.
1-0, boom.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, thanks for bearing with us, guys. we said there might be a website by the time this went live. By the time last week's went live, obviously there wasn't. There might be again this time. Just have to wait and find out.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, we don't have any details about it yet, but next week, I'm pretty sure, next week we'll have the domain and everything.
It is in a state.
It's done. Yeah. It's just not on the internet yet.
It's fucking under wraps.
We're
going to
sort all this shit out. And
it's like pre-season, you know, we've tested it in the heat.
Yeah, there's a few teething problems.
It's very tightly packaged, you know. Harry likes things.
It's the cooling. It's the cooling on the website.
The cooling
it's
not is an issue.
The FIA sensor's been giving me dodgy readings.
So, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Like we said earlier, it'd be great to get some feedback.
Definitely.
We know people listen to it, but we want to know who you are.
Names, addresses, passport numbers. That's the best envelope, PO box. We'll see you next week.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.